Thank you, Brother Beal, Brother Victor, and Brother Smith. I would certainly like to say that I don't address people in English. Month after month goes by and it's all Spanish. I don't know, does anybody here speak Spanish? Well, let me show you how it is. Buenas tardes, hermanos y hermanos. Bienvenidos por este culto aquí en esta casa esta noche. Propósito por esta reunión esta noche es por toda gloria a Dios. So, there you go. That's just a little bit of it. What I'd like to do is keep one foot on. It's kind of like when you're playing basketball, you better not travel. You better keep that one foot there and move around a little bit. So let's try to do the same thing. I think there's one passage that might help illustrate that principle out of Hebrews. Let me just put this out here in Hebrews chapter 6 and put this out and give us a kickoff point, give us a starting point. The writer says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. It doesn't mean at all that we're going to pack them up and put them in the closet and never use them again. But it is understanding we've got them set. And I want to use that principle. We're going to have to get our feet on the ground when we're preaching the gospel. Because I don't want to misrepresent Jesus Christ. Let's not do that. Neither shall we misrepresent God or the Holy Spirit. Let's be careful and let's try to get our feet on the ground. And I would hope that that has been a driving concern and commitment of mine. So I'd like to reassure you that's what I'm trying to do wherever I go. It makes so much difference that you have your sights set in on your gun, because you can be the marksman for all you're worth. But if your sights are out of sight, it won't make any difference. You're not going to hit the target. So we do have some fundamental foundational principles. We're just going to have to back up, get the umpire to get the broom and sweep off home base and remind everybody what's the name of the game. Amen. And we're going to have to do that. Amen. And so I remember when I was about 12 years old, we had a .22 long rifle. And I had the idea that if I could aim that gun straight up and shoot it right beside my dad's big steel roofed building, I ought to hear that bullet come back down and hit the roof. So I got two carpenter levels and mounted that gun, and then I leveled it both ways, got everything all set, and pulled the trigger. Well, I never heard the bullet come back down. I suppose I didn't take into account the rotation of the earth or whatever what else might be in there. But I only use that as that principle. You get things lined up if you're going to hit the mark. You're just going to have to do it. When we're talking about preaching the gospel, we're going to have to get things lined up. Who God is. Is there any question about his omnipotence? There's no deviation from it. I see no exception to any degree to the concept that he says he has declared the end from the beginning. Then leave it rest. If the Bible says, Alleluia, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, then leave it rest. If we're going to define the work of Jesus Christ, are we going to step in and try to assume our own definitions? Or shall we take it for exactly what he says? A favorite passage of mine is John 6, 37, 38, 39. Amen. Such a relief, such a beauty. Amen. Okay? I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And all that he hath given me, well, I jumped on down. And this is the Father. And all that cometh to him, I will in no wise cast out. And then he says, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. Lose nothing. Don't let that principle get out of focus. Never let it go. Never let anything undermine it. It will stand. It will always stand. I will lose nothing but raise them up again at the last day. got our foundation set. No other foundation can any man lay, but that which is laid is Christ. And another verse that I've been using in the work where I live is we kick off with the Acts 17, and where are we here? 26. Speaking of God, or speaking of the unknown God, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The boundaries are set. Get your boundaries set. And once your boundaries are set, then you don't move them. That's a principle. So I'm coming before you tonight to say I'm a Primitive Baptist pastor. 27 and a half years at Mount Zion in Cozad, Nebraska. Yes. Learn what I felt and still feel are the fundamentals of honoring God, honoring Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Honoring the purpose of what the gospel is for. Don't get it out of its boundaries. It is very important, but don't push it up beyond its boundaries and make it do something that it wasn't designed to do. I feel a peace in my heart as I continue to look through the scriptures and review these subjects that I've still got my sights on them, and I can still hit the mark by using those as my guides. And I would advise everyone, do the same thing. Get so confident and familiar with your foundation. Get confident, get familiar with it, ready to use it just at a moment. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now we're gonna leave these things because, as the scripture said, let us go on into perfection. Again, let us mature. Let's just grow up a little bit. Let's just go ahead and move on out and fill on out. For 27 and a half years, I was pastor there in Cozad. Maybe I'll do just a little bit of a history lesson here out, or just a review. But I would only do it, and anything that I have to say tonight is to take a principle of Christ and say, here's a principle. Now, the principles are all the same. And for every child of God, here's the same set of principles. We don't have a different formula for the soul of the born-again child of God just because of where he happens to live. No, we're not changing principles at all. Ethnic location, geography, language has nothing to do with it. We're talking about principles of a born-again soul in their spiritual fellowship and growth in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. Well, 27 and a half years preaching, pastoring, Primitive Baptist. But you know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. My path got directed a different way. Did I really understand trust the Lord? I began to wonder that. I suppose maybe about 7 or 8 years before we decided to move, I started reviewing my own heart. Started searching my soul to find out, do I, am I, can I? And in that search, there started to be an unrest. And that's all I can attribute anything to. But I wanted to find out. Well, I just present that principle to any of you. Review who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. Whatever age you are, review it. And keep going back and asking, give me an assessment of what it means to be trusting in the Lord. Well, we reached a point between my wife and I that we both became unified on our vision. I'd say point number one. That's very good. Because the fundamentals of a marriage relationship, you're going to have to bring it into oneness before you have an open and a free, loving relationship. And you do a lot of bouncing around when you're trying to work on coming into harmony and to be in agreement. But we did. We came to an agreement. We both had an unrest. The good clue. I've got harmony with the one that I've committed my life to before the Lord, and he has given me union and unity. And we use that on the principle of saying, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I would hold just any decision you decide to make, hold it up there. And if you have peace in it, after you have prayed and labored over it, and you find out that there are opportunities for you, well, then you start looking at such principles as saying, ask, seek, and knock. Why would you do that if you did not have some goal to press into and press on and press toward? Why would you do that? Why would those principles be there? Explore them. Decide how they fit into your life. And I can only say this was what was starting to work in our hearts. The unity and the peace brought us to a point. Then we made the decision. We're going to find out. We're going to find out. It wasn't a blind just tearing off and leaving and being disrespectful and uncaring to those that we'd been with. We had to have that respect and that consideration of that family that had supported us and loved us. And so I would ask, whatever decision you make, be honorable with it. Be respectful with it. Don't move ahead too fast. Make sure you have a goal in mind, which is a biblical goal. Maybe I can put this in right quick. I've used this formula for a long time. It's SOAP. It's the acronym SOAP. You have an idea. You have a quest. You have a desire. Something that you think you want to do. Well, then give it the SOAP test. Is it scriptural? S. There you go. You cross that one. Can you support it that it's not immoral? That it is following a biblical example? Go ahead and flesh that one on out, of course. Then S-O, do you have the opportunity before you to fulfill what you think is scriptural? Is there an opportunity? I'll go on through them fast enough. But then the other one is, do you have the ability? And then, have you prayed about it or do you have peace about it? Now, if you can get those things to harmonize, we did. And I could say, okay, we came into focus with that. Well, Barb and I adopted several children in our family. And at the time, we still had seven teenagers in the home. And her mother was living with us. And she was 84. And we had a longing for the Philippines. But we'd pastored for 27 and a half years. We owned a piece of property out in the country, lived there for almost 30 years. It was home, raised our children, friends. The attic was full, the basement was full, the barn was full, the garage was full, closets were full. Everything just seemed like an absolute impossibility. But there was that longing and that desire. Are we going to pursue it? Are we going to ask? Are we going to seek? Are we going to knock or not? Go ahead. We have seven foster legal guardian children. We were still under contract with the social services in our county. Okay, we'll see how that one irons out. Grandma, she going to go with us? Yeah, Grandma's going to go with us. From that moment that we started proceeding, then, as we talked a while ago, did we start seeing the Lord? He's always there. He never rests. He never slumbers. He's always there. But it's our lack of perception that is aware of what is working around all around us. I've looked back over the past 8 years, and we've wondered why we left the home place, why I moved to Texas, why I moved to the Philippines, why back, and now why in Mexico. I can give you this much. I know the Lord now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a dimension that I have not approached before in the life that I have lived previously. I wouldn't trade that. I want to hold that dimension
of seeing Jesus Christ and the power of God's sovereignty working in detail in your lives, I want to hold that principle before you and say, go for it. It is there. Don't miss it. It's there. How are you going to take these same principles? God is infinite in his abilities to work and know every intricate detail in every one of your lives. Don't have to sell the farm. You don't have to move out of the country. You don't have to move out of the state. And you don't have to go to another country when you don't even know the language. But it's putting yourself in a position when you are earnestly and honestly from your heart for a motive of witnessing and reaching out to other children of God. I'm not going out to make anyone miss hell. I don't even consider that fact. But there's a joy in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ which can come into his church and be manifested in a joy and a love and a beauty. It's worth sharing. It's worth going and trying to find some way to spread the news. Across the alley, neighbors. The principle is there. That's what I would like to share with you. And I'd like to encourage you and challenge you. What's burdening you? What's hanging in your heart? What's hanging in your mind? Take it seriously. Go to the scriptures with it. Give it the soap test. And if you got peace with your wife on the matter, then step ahead. As the events then started to unfold, it is a walk of faith. Faith. My, oh my. How do you define faith? I don't know for sure. But I at least gained a bit of an edge in my heart about faith, which has proven to be closer to what I think it needs to be than I ever did before. And so I would say be careful when we get into some of these very biblical teachings that we don't twist them and end up making them a law again and even start being pharisaical about it and saying, look how many more notches I have. I've gained a little more faith. I've done a little more. I've gotten a little more. No, I went the other way with it. And it started appearing to me that if I'm going to see Jesus, I'm going to have to get out of the way. And I came to a verse in the last part of Romans chapter 3. And they said, he's talking to the Jews. And they said, then if it's of faith, where is boasting? Good question. I wonder how the Pharisees felt about the principle and the subject of boasting. Comes pretty easy to the human nature. It comes pretty easy to the fallen characteristic of a proud look. Comes very easy to boast. And you can come up with just about any reason with a biblical support, but you have placed it in the category of boasting. So subtle you don't even know it. He says, well, if that's the case, the Jews were saying, where's boasting? And Paul says, it's excluded. can you imagine human nature wanting to say, you just took the heart out of my melon. I mean, that's the best part of it. Excluded by what law? The law of faith. Why? It's just like sometimes when you read a verse, all of a sudden, the law of faith is no boasting. Well, and I started trying to line that principle back up with some of the decisions I'm making. And I'll say, I can do it. I will. I'm going to do that. Oops, just a minute. So I come to this practical application of walking by faith. I guess I would say, brainstorm for all you're worth. Ideas. Biblical, of course, moral. Brainstorm for all you're worth. Dream dreams, visions. In your mind, go for it. Don't hold back. And when you finally come to a condition or a situation or a dream or an opportunity, And you're going to have to knock to get it to open, to see if it'll open. And you're going to ask, and you're going to have to seek. Then you're going to come to the position of saying, that's a good, and it's a biblical, and it's an honorable quest, and it's an honorable goal. That's just fine. That's what you need. But whoa, the obstacles that are in the way. How am I going to get there? Lord, I don't know. Now let's start putting faith in on it. I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know how it's going to work. Lord, if this is going to happen, you're going to have to do it. Because the way I size it up with my abilities, I want it. I desire it. But I can't do it. But I want it, but I can't do it. And I know I can't. But I'm going for it anyway. And there's no boasting in that. And the closer I can get to that principle and that balance and that concept in my heart, no boasting. Faith? What is faith? You want to brag about faith? If faith is no boasting, you want to brag about it? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, we're getting close now. There you go. Lepers? Lepers? Why do lepers go around crying? Unclean. I'm unclean. But I want that. But I'm unclean. And I know I'm unclean. But I'm going for it. But I'm unclean. But I'm a sinner. But I'm going for it. That one seemed to settle in. that one started to bring a sense of need. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I started getting a confidence in the Lord. And Barb and I started getting the confidence of the Lord as we decided to step away. Stepping away is not an easy thing to do. We stepped away from Mom and Daddy. We stepped away from the church we'd pastored. We sold the place, sold the house, sold everything we had, right down to a van and what we could carry. And we went down by Fort Worth, Texas. That was the most highest peak of nerve testing that we experienced. How could we leave that? What are we doing? No, you forgot. There's a longing to go and to witness. And how can we do it? Is it biblical? Is it all right? Can we try it? What about grandma? What about the 7 kids? What about the house? We'll sell it. Just keep going. Just keep going. And in that approach, with that attitude, I don't know where you are, but I know the principles of God don't change one bit. And you don't have to step off the city block to make those principles work. Maybe we're so hard-headed, kind of like the Pharisees, because of the hardness of your heart, whatever. I don't know. But from our comparison, yes, we feel like the past 8 years, we've kind of had our head banged against the wall. Well, it's kind of embarrassing. It's a bad testimony of why we needed to get it banged pretty hard, because we wouldn't wake up, maybe. I can't argue that. I'm not going to get into it. I would see Jesus. From my point of view, and from where I've been, relatively speaking, I've seen him in ways I never thought possible. I want you to have it. It's yours. And you. And you. I don't care how old you are. You're 12, 15, 18, 20. Get started. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. Amen. Go for it. Let's go. He's there. Now I can give some details about how I know he was there. Let me just give one pretty quick. All right, I had an appointment. I was going to go to the church up in Wisconsin the weekend it was constituted. I was down in Texas looking for a place for our family to move and to live in. We were already making payments and had payments that we had on a Nebraska house. And I'm out looking for another one. And I'm going to have to find a house big enough to rent to put our family in. And it's like, we finally found one. And it was for $900 a month. Whoa. Time was short. If I didn't get this thing settled on Wednesday night, Friday night, I want to be in Wisconsin. I said, okay. I shook hands with the man and said, it's a deal. He said, no, I'll give you 24 hours to think it over. I said, well, I'm going to have to make a commitment because I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Wisconsin. We were down in Texas. That night, we decided to hunt up anybody we knew, and we found another pastor in a Primitive Baptist church. Called him up, said, can we come over for the evening? They were having a Bible study. We went over there that evening. I was still choked over the big commitment that I'd made. That's a big one for me. I don't know about for you, but I mean, that stretched my comfort zone. It was about ready to pop. I almost couldn't hold it. I wanted to run back home and say, forget the whole deal. I don't want to move. I want to stay. No, I've got that longing to go. The meeting was over. I'm over here. I'm the one making the deals between Barbara and I. And I'm thinking, well, here comes boasting coming up the back stretch, you know. And I start talking to some of the members. Well, I've got things under control. And that's an attitude. I'm exaggerating it. But Barbara comes up and says, I think you need to go talk with this man over here. I said, well, okay, I never met him before. And I got over there to talk to him, introduced myself. He says, what are you doing? Where are you at? He's very direct. And I said, well, I'll be direct. We just come down and we found this house to rent. And so we're going to rent it and we're just going to move down. Temporarily until we get things lined up to go to the Philippines. He says, well, I'll tell you what, come out to the ranch in the morning. I said, well, okay, but I got plans. I'm going to have to get on the road. And he said, no, you come to the ranch tomorrow. So we did, went to his ranch. Yes, I don't know how big the ranch was, 900 acres or something. We got out to the ranch, and there was a great big house and another smaller house, and they're both empty. He said, I've been thinking over what you said, and are you going to plan to go to the Philippines? Is that what you plan to do? I was 58 years old. I said, yeah, that's what Barb and I plan to do. He said, then I'll tell you what. Instead of you putting that $900 a month, I'll just hold it back. It's yours. Move in. And when you're time to go, here's to buy some tickets. Well, my goodness. There you go. We had to get in the van right then, and we drove nonstop right back to Nebraska, turned around and headed on for Milwaukee. Isn't that something? Does he know? Does he know? Can he provide? Is the earth the Lord's and the fullness thereof or not? Is it? Does he know the hairs on your head? Does he know every sparrow that falls? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You want it? I have no other conclusion but to say, there it is. Keep your boasting out of him. Stretch your mind to witness for the Lord. It's for the Lord. And if you stretch your mind for the Lord, I don't know where you all are with Romans 8:28, but I'll plug this thought in. All things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Do you have the love of God as your motive for the decisions and the plans that you're making? I think that is the premise. And if you do, there's a promise there. Go for it. Can you line it up? Go for it. That's what I want to say. Go for it. We needed $11,500 to make the trip. For seven of us, Barb and I, and for Grandma. We got down within 1 week of going, and we were 2,500 short. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Some man handed me a check, folded it, put it in my pocket. You know the answer. We got home, I pulled it out, $2,500. Is the Lord in the matter or not? When you start seeing that the Lord is in the matter, then that just gives you the confidence, keep pressing toward the mark, and you'll get there. And we did. Now Barbara and I can say, well, we have a chapter after chapter. We have a new book in our lives in the past 8 years. And each chapter is the glory of God was manifest to us. Mm-hmm. That's not just for me. No. It's for you, brother, sister, teenager, young child, born of the Spirit. Then you have all of the credentials that are necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ to show himself strong to you. You do. I hope it's not wrong. If I boast, let me boast in the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, by comparison to where we used to be, we look for miracles every day and we're seeing them. Not on a basis of, but it's on no boasting. And if the boasting starts to come back in, well, there's just kind of a sick feeling that starts moving in, and we start losing our confidence and start losing our focus. We don't know. But the Lord is real. And his power is without limits. And his ability to know your very heart and to know your pain and to know exactly what you need. He came to heal the broken heart.
Amen.
Anybody got a broken heart? Then I can tell you what to do. Is it going to be easy? Our heart got broke one time in the Philippines because one of our boys, 13 years old, decided to run away. And he did. In Cagayan de Oro. 1.5 million people. 12 days and nights he was gone. And bless Brother Gus's heart. When he heard it, he drove up across those mountains, and he and I walked the streets looking for that boy. You know, God can just make absolutely every detail work together. And here's a nutshell of what happened. God wanted to show me more of who he is, and he did it. Okay, 12 days and nights. Every day we would go look, and no title. Just could not find him. I said, well, I'm going to go to the newspaper. I'm going to walk the streets. I'm going to pass out flyers. And I did. And Gus came up. We prayed. We got a private detective. We, I, until the 12th day. And we were tired. And I went to town. And I was sitting in a Jolly Bee. And I was looking out on the street. And I just said in my heart, Jesus, I can't do it. I can't do it. And Jesus, if I never see him again, I accept that. I won't leave the Philippines until I find a piece of hair or something to identify where he is or what happened. I give him up. I give him up. And I no more than said, I give him up. Phone rang. It was him. He had walked a mile. You know how long it takes to walk a mile? If you walk 2 miles an hour, I don't know, 30 minutes anyway. God already had him coming home before I gave up. And he called and said, Dad, I'm home. Does Jesus know? Oh, is he in control? Don't we know it and don't we say it? But in some confused habit of our decisions of lives, of priorities, I believe we get so cluttered up, Martha, that we miss it. Well, what do I have to say tonight? Quickly. We folded bags up after we got that boy back and we came back. Because we said, we're going home. If they want to run away, they can run away in the United States. But we got back. Years have gone by. The longing was still there. What time is it? I'm not paying any attention. The longing was still to go witness. Wherever you are, you got a call to share, to let your light shine. I don't know how the circumstances will provide you with this principle. But the principle is not any different at all. Why were the dynamics a little bit more dramatic for Barbara and I? I'm embarrassed to try to figure that out. But it did, and that's what happened. Well, I'm in Mexico now. We moved down there 4 years ago this month. Didn't know any Spanish. I was scared to death to cross that border and go in. Well, we live there now. We live in Mexico, in Juarez, Mexico. It is the world's most violent city because of the drug cartels fighting. I don't know. We know that God called us there. And as long as we have that confidence and that peace, and we pray to be wise, then we're going to stay or keep doing what we feel God has called us to do. I don't know how that will work out. So, there was an event that happened just as much like the ranch that had us get a place to live on the ranch. It's the reason I'm there. I did not just go and say, here I am, come off the high board, whatever happens is going to happen. I didn't do it. I was pressing toward a mark that I knew was scriptural. Give it the soap test again. Did I have the ability to do it? I could drive. I could drive, it's, you know, however far it is to get out there. I could do that. Did I have the opportunity to do it? Mm-hmm, I did. I had the opportunity. And I had the ability as far as getting there and having some money. But how all of those details worked out is just an absolute work of providence that was right before us. But no boasting. If you start letting boasting come back in, you just, well, fold up camp and wait, you know, the manifestation of his power. I won't say it won't be there. I'm not going to make a law out of it. But it sure seems to get a little bit dark and a little bit losing your way. I drove out one day just because I said, Barbara, I want to go. She did too. What are we going to do? And again, I don't know what time it is, but it's 8:25. The Lord has just been so good to us. And I only come to you because maybe because I am a primitive Baptist, and because I have tried to follow what I believe is the Lord's pattern. And I've tried to keep my feet on the ground with the principles of God's sovereignty and who Jesus Christ is. And he died for his elect.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit comes at the control of God. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. Unconditional. Like that. He speaks into your heart. Just like he spoke light out of darkness. Amen. That's how you become a child of God. He gets the glory. That's my foundation. It still is. Maybe because I can present some of those concepts to you, we might have a relationship of believability on what I'm telling you. But we did not leave the principles of the doctrines of Christ. But we have gone on. And even if it's just going on from where I was, from my point of view, I went on. And we're trying to grow. Not grow in popularity, not grow in great big numbers of churches, but growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And I offer that to you. It is yours. I say, claim it. And don't wait to claim it. You say, well, I don't have a goal yet. I don't have a vision. Then get on your knees and get to praying. And saying, Lord, what are my options? How can I have a vision to take Hebrews 6 and start to develop it and see what happens? Here's what happened. Oh, me of little faith. I don't know how to apply all of that, but I drove out to El Paso. El Paso. That is almost off the end of the earth. Seemed like in the States. Never been there before. Didn't know anything about it. Drove around that town. Could see Mexico. I'm afraid. But Lord, I want to go. So I keep following that. And I conclude it's scriptural. I have an opportunity to do it. I have the ability to do it. And Barbara and I are at peace about it. And I think I have your peace too. But my, it sure doesn't seem like a piece of cake. Drove around town for about 2 or 3 hours and saying, I can't cross the border. I just can't do it. I don't know anybody. I called several realtors, told them how big my family was, and we had 4 at that time. Grandma's still with us. And I said, I can't do it. You know, I pulled off the side of the road. I said, Lord, I'm going home. It's over. 4 years ago. I'm going home. I'm going to stop and get me something to drink, a Coke, and I'm heading home. 600 miles, I can get back home late tonight. Stop to get myself a Coke, walk back out. Thought I had myself all in peace and order, and I get in the car, start her up, and I get ready to go, and somebody knocks on the window. I look, and it's a dark-complected person. And I've said, there's drug wars and there's gangs around here, and I don't know. I rolled my window down. He wanted a ride. You want me to give you a ride? Well, that's dangerous. So I turned him down. He could talk English. He's a Mexican man. Turned him down. And as he walked away, here comes the communication. No, I did not hear anything. But my mind is able to reason. And I started reasoning. Do you have a longing to serve the Lord? Didn't you have a longing to do it out here? Yeah. So this is just the way as a man thinketh in his heart. And I started thinking in my heart. I said, well, why didn't you give him a ride? What did you tell him? I told him I wasn't going his way. That's what I told him. And my thought came, well, which way are you going? I thought you just got through telling the Lord you didn't know what to do. And so I did a little bit of reasoning like that within myself, and I said, well, okay, I'm going to go back and ask him. And I hurried back around, and I hollered at him, and he got in, and we started down the road. And in my mind, it's over. It's impossible. I don't know anybody. And here I got myself committed to give this gentleman a ride. But Lord, I mean, you know as I do, this is impossible. Boasting was right down where it's supposed to be. It was almost to minus something. Zero boasting on this one. I don't have any reason to be here. I don't know anybody. I'm afraid. Nothing's happened. I'm going home. As soon as I get this man to where he wants to go, I'm heading for home. He asked the question, who are you? I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. We are. Well, what are you doing out here? That's a good question, you know. Well, I want to preach in Mexico. That's what I want to do. Yeah, my wife and I want to come out and start a church in Mexico. That's what we want to do. He says, you got to meet my dad. My dad's a pastor in Mexico, and he just lives right over here. Come on, let's go meet my dad. And I'm telling you, can you beat that? Can you beat that? Just 10 minutes after I gave up and said it's over, I'm sitting in the living room of a man that has a church in Mexico. And he said, you come back in the morning and I'll go show you anything you want to know. And that's how it started. That's how it started. So I really feel blessed and honored to be able to come here and visit with you all. Just the experience of someone, I hope, that has my feet on the ground and you agree with my fundamentals. I hope you do.
Amen.
And that I'm trying to follow a scriptural principle. But I give it to you because it's yours. And it doesn't matter what your age is. Grandma died at 87. We were crossing the border and going into Mexico every day with Grandma. And on about a Thursday, she started not feeling good. So I said, well, Barb, better keep Grandma home. So she kept her home on Saturday, and Grandma just kept getting weaker and not talking. And so on Sunday, I said, no, I'll go on over and we'll have church by ourselves. And I came back, and 7 o'clock that night, Grandma died in the bedroom, in her bed, just as peaceful and as loving as could ever be. We had carried her to the Philippines. We had climbed mountains with her. Filipinos had walked the plank carrying her to get out on canoes. And she died peacefully in her own bed in America. Just went to sleep. And the room was full of the presence of the power of Jesus as we stood there with Grandma. She gone. Is the Lord in the matter or not? What if she had died over in Mexico? Where would have we gone? You don't drive up to the border with a dead person and show them their passport. You don't do that. You're going to have to go into town, find a hospital, find a doctor, get a death certificate. And get it all cleared before you come back across the border. You just spared us all that. Just spared us every bit of that. Well, I can go on. I can go on. And it's not anything to me. But I can tell you it is true. It is real. He knows with every detailed moment. Yes, right down to the hairs on your head. That's how detailed he is. And he's never late. He knows exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. I just offer that to you. Let's go on. What do you say? Let's go on into perfection. Go ahead and search your heart, search your life, search your situation. Wherever you are, there's something that'll push the boundaries of saying, I got a vision. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. But in all my ways, what are your ways? How many ways do you think you might have? I don't know. Let's take an assessment. Let's write some things out and find out how many ways you have. You might be able to do it this way, that way, this way, over here. I didn't speak Spanish. I preach in Spanish now. I'll be 67 next month, in August. I feel like I'm 40 or 35. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I've got a job to do. And I love it. And I'm trying to learn. Well, I've got a booklet here. And this is a set of curriculum. Okay? It has 12 subjects in it. I have now 11 curriculums developed. English, Spanish. Here's the way it works. This one is 12 doctrinal subjects. Begins with the power of God. What would you start with if you were going in to a group of God's children? I'm not going in to get them born again. I'm going in saying they're born again, but we need to bring some light of the gospel to them. Where would I start? The power of God. So I begin with the first subject on this curriculum, with the power of God. You notice I've got every sentence numbered. It's so hard to keep a group together when you're trying to read a paragraph and you just have a block of sentences there, and maybe you doze off for a little bit and you wake up and say, I don't know where he is. Well, I do too. Sentence number one. God's complete power and control of all things is the center of all Bible study. That's good enough. That's good. If you don't have that one, we better get that one clear before we go any further. That's English. Here it is in Spanish. El poder completo y el control de Dios de todas las cosas en el centro de todo el estudio de la Biblia. Verdad, verdad. That's true. Praise the Lord. Amen. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. I didn't know where it was going to go. We have a constituted church. Brother Gus, my membership was there. A lot of things have happened. We still have our feet on the ground. We have articles of faith. And we still have a constituted Shekinah Primitive Baptist Church. It's Shekinah Iglesia Primitiva Primitive. That's what it is. It's Bautista Iglesia Primitiva. That's where you go. You got it. We still have it. We've had to do a lot of changing. A lot of people come in. We baptize some. We have communion. Feet washing. But we're losing. Because there are other things that have to come into play. Like morality. And you have to get married. Don't live with your friend for 30 years. We're going to get married. We got a few things like that. And alcohol and drugs and wanting money. And why don't you pay me more? And getting angry at me. And that's all right. It's just okay. So we do have a constituted church. But we also have two outreach groups that we're worshiping at. And they're coming into focus. Amen. Right now. Time-wise, we'll just let it have maybe a question and answer period or something. But God is working there. And that's what we're doing right now. And so, a lot of things I could bring up to you. Come down. Young kids, you want an experience that'll last you and give you some memories for the rest of your life? Are you 18? Maybe you're 15. Maybe you're 30. Maybe you're 50, 60, maybe you're 70. Come on. It's an opportunity. I agree. But I do not want to be here to give a sales pitch for what is Mexico. I'm here for the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell you there are principles in that book that are yours. They're yours. And whatever the challenges might be, yes, I speak Spanish and I can get a message to them. And I feel like it used to be when I was a kid and we'd have a snowball fight. I'd say, "We're not starting yet." And I'd be back behind my little barricade. Man, I was making snowballs like crazy until I had a whole arsenal of them all ready to go. And then I would say, "Are you ready?" And then I'd just start grabbing those things and throwing them. I've got a vocabulary. I do. I have a vocabulary in Spanish. And I can start throwing those words as fast as I can. And pretty soon I start getting some heads going. God is there. And I don't know what may be the circumstances that you would say, "Can't do it." I don't know. But I'm here to say, He is a sovereign God. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God bless you. Amen.